Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
It's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, Woody. It's been a few weeks. Been waiting to get Kyle Crabbs on Locked On Fins podcast. Talk a little bit about that first game. But, Kyle, before we get started, those special friends of yours put together
another tailgate.
I mean, it was a big boy tailgate. It went forever. I don't know if it was the picture they sent me, but it started at one end, and it looked like it went for maybe 20 to 30 feet full of food, nonstop food out there. And it was like, damn, I should have just taken an hour and gone out there. I was just so mad at myself.
Pop in early next time. I'm pretty sure they're knocking the gates down, I think, when they start opening gates for parking.
I tell you what, you talk about tailgating at a high level. That was beautiful right there. That was like running for 200 yards and throwing for 300 yards. It was beautiful. Hey, Kyle, so let's get into it here. So the start, because now we've kind of had a chance to watch the National Football League. Everybody's through the last game last night with the 49ers taking care of the Jets, but look like a lot of teams, I'm giving everybody the benefit of the doubt, or most teams, that this is what happens when you don't play a lot in the preseason at that tempo. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it was pretty sloppy all around the league, and that's to be expected when a lot of your competitive periods for your starters and guys that played this weekend were joint practices that are a little bit more controlled environment, and it tests the tackling a little bit more. So, There's a lot of good and bad. I think you can look at some of the things the Dolphins did schematically against Jacksonville and get excited about how they game planned that game to help mitigate some of the issues that maybe a timing-based offense wasn't firing on all cylinders at. And I think there were a couple of big plays they left out on the field just based off the little things. The good news is those things should be very easy to clean up once you get a chance to see them on tape for the first time.
So I got to ask you, let's go to some of the hot topics. And you know, we heard Chris Greer going, you know, you're the only ones worried about the offensive line. So what do you think in week one? How the offensive line overall play?
So I know they didn't run the ball all that well, especially early until they got in the second half and Jeff Wilson gets some run and they transition to some more gap concepts instead of their zone stuff. But they left their tackles on islands a little bit more than I thought that they would. I think some of that ties back to the game plan, where you sit down and you look at Jacksonville and you're trying to come up with a plan of how to win the game. You say, okay, well, Josh Hines, Allen's one of the best pass rushers in the game, and the guy on the other side of him was the number one overall pick. And, oh, by the way, they added Eric Armstead in free agency. So a lot of those perimeter screens and quick throws that were maybe a little frustrating to watch, I thought they served two purposes. I thought they served as an extension of the run game, and I also thought it forced those pass rushers to slow down and have to retrace their tracks and get back outside. And they did it again and again and again and again and again, so that when they wanted to do the drop back passing, they could leave the tackles on islands, and they actually did a pretty darn good job. I thought two of the best players on offense from individual performance standpoints or Teron Armstead and Austin Jackson. And that's going against really, really good players. So I think some of that's complementary to the game plan that they put together and then the execution of those players. And then I thought Aaron Brewer was really good in the middle as well. I thought the guards were serviceable. And I think that's probably what you'd expect based off expectations if everything clicks. Now, how they're able to kind of jumpstart the run game, especially with the wide zone stuff, I think they'll get a lot more favorable matchups in the weeks to come that aren't against prototype builds on the edge that are really big and physical that you're asking skilled players to block.
Boy, I got to tell you, it's so funny you said that. I was a little frustrated, too, watching like, oh, Mike's going with that quick pass outside and trying to get his back out there. And then with the blockers in front of it, the receivers and some alignment getting out there to help out with it. And that's a great point. That's just to slow that pass rush and help those guys out. And because it did set up for some deep throws, which they actually made a lot of them. So I got to ask you, it's interesting. I thought Tua played really well. Not the best, but I thought he was really, really good. What did you think of his performance?
I thought he was solid. I certainly wouldn't put it up there in the pantheon of best Tua performances. But I thought, other than a couple of throws, he missed a speed out to Tyreek that I thought Tyreek kind of gassed down as he's coming out of the break. So a little bit of ball placement from Tua, a little bit of issue from Tyreek getting out of the break. I thought the deep throw to Tyreek kind of is the one that lingers in everybody's mind. But it looked like they had an assignment switch late based on them Jacksonville crashing their defensive end down. And it just had Alec Ingold kind of recognize a little late that Devin Lloyd, their linebacker, was coming off the second level. And because of that, Devin Lloyd gets a run on Tua, and Tua has to kind of protect himself as he's into the follow-through, and I think it influenced his throw just a little bit. And that was one of those ones that you look at. I mean, that was a 50-plus yard touchdown play that, hey, if we just recognize that Teron's going to take this defensive end that's crashing down into the B-gap and we feel it a little earlier and give Tua a little bit more width in that pocket and pick it up, I think he probably hits that throw.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, so Jalen Phillips, I thought, had a really good game. I didn't know what to expect. They put him out there, so I figured he was close to really being back. But his pass rushing moves, the pressure, and then finally the sack in the fourth quarter, I thought he played a pretty damn good game for a first time back. What did you think of Jalen Phillips overall?
Yeah, he was outstanding. Now, I do think you can kind of see one of the things that makes Jalen really special as a player is his flexibility in the lower half. And I didn't think he necessarily played at the same steep angles that he put on film last year when he was healthy. And that's to be expected. You're coming back off a lower body Achilles injury. But the motor was outstanding. I thought the first step explosiveness was good. There were times I thought he was moving at a totally different speed than everybody else in the defensive front rushing the passer. And for that to be the case with an Achilles injury and to him still have enough speed and bend to turn the corner, I think it's only going to get better, but this was a very promising first 30-something snaps for Jalen.
Can we talk about some guys here on the defensive side? Benito Jones. Yeah. I know he didn't play a lot of snaps. What do you think of Benito Jones?
I was actually surprised he didn't play more. This was the Jacksonville team. They like to run some 12 personnel, and Doug likes his two tight end sets. I was a little surprised we didn't see a little bit more base. But I thought he did the role that you're expected to do as a nose tackle lining up over the center just fine. Part of it, the issue I thought with Benito was some of his snaps were in even fronts where there's a little bit more on your plate as far as responsibility and range and disruptive potential, and that's just not his game. So I think it's one of those things you're going to have to get comfortable probably with the back end. Because I thought the back end looked like their best player didn't practice for the last 2-3 weeks. I thought there were some times where that kind of stood out. Yeah. Does that trickle down to the front and the fronts that you played and get an extra body back there? We'll have to kind of wait and see.
How did Calais Campbell? He had two great plays to start the game, a sack and a tackle for loss. How did Calais play overall?
I thought he played really well. I thought he was one of the better performers, specifically in the entirety of the first half. I thought he played really well, kind of disengaging off of blocks. Does he play high? Yeah, he's the tallest dude on the roster. But it didn't really impact his leverage all that much. And he had more of the one-on-ones. That was one of the takeaways I had, especially in the first half. Jacksonville threw a lot of double teams and two bodies at Zach Sealer. So it kind of fell onto Calais Campbell as the other inside guy when he was in there to make some plays, and he did that. And hopefully that's something that lingers for teams as they're putting together their plans for how to go against Miami, is to say, hey, we can't just sit here and double Zach, otherwise yeah. Calais will make some plays.
You know, had a real quiet game. I don't know how he played. Jordan Brooks, I don't remember, 20 in the linebacker position. Mm-hmm. How was he?
I thought he showed really good range. He had some really good click and close on backs underneath. But I thought Jacksonville really got after the third level of the defense as compared to the second level of the defense. Good sideline to sideline mobility, but I did think there were a couple opportunities for him to maybe kind of process a little faster and put himself in position to make a few more plays. And I think some of that's just him and David Long feeling on how they play with one another and how to overlap and how to make sure if David's going to duck inside and take this gap, I need to anticipate and get over top of it and get outside. Things like that, as they go back and watch through, that's a lot of the little stuff on the other side of the ball that I think they can really build on.
Well, you surprised to see Storm Duck ahead of Ethan Bonner for active?
A little bit. I didn't think the menu was necessarily super big, and I don't think it would have been any bigger for Ethan. I thought it was a good test for Storm. A couple of the reps that he was out there looked like against Gabe Davis, and there was a double move up the sideline. There was a red zone rep where he had a deep out right towards the front pylon. Opportunities for him that I think Miami's probably a little fortunate that Jacksonville didn't test him a little more on those reps where he was out there. But we'll see what happens this week. You know, does Bonner dress this week instead of Storm? Do they flip-flop him?
Yeah.
You got Cam Smith kind of lingering in a couple weeks. What is that going to look like? So I think if anybody's going to make the opportunity of that time to be the next guy, they're probably on borrowed time to make a splash and make an impression.
By the way, how good was that Javon Holland play? When we say game-changing play, that was 100% one of the great game-changing plays that we've seen.
That'll be on the reel at the end of the season. For whatever this season becomes for Miami, when they do the sizzle reel at the end of it and they're hyping everybody up, that play is going to be – you're going to see that play a whole lot more the rest of the way.
Yeah. Man, it was just a great play. So I got to get your take on Tyreek. I thought Tyreek, for obvious reasons, since we've been talking about it all morning here, but Tyreek coming from the craziest 6 hours of all time, 3 hours before handcuffed and on the ground. It's kind of weird even to talk about. Not you know, getting ready for the game, but that, and then goes out and plays. Had a really good second half.
Yeah.
You surprised? Because I thought there was definitely – he didn't look like himself to start the game. And now I know why, obviously, as we learn more. What'd you think of Tyreek's game?
Yeah, I think you really admire the way that he kind of hung in there, found a way to make plays, make an impact. I think you really admire the way that the whole team kind of rallied around him. And Mike always says adversity is opportunity, right? So for Tyreek, in the ultimate adversity before the game on his way to the game, to be able to kind of process through that, play through that, and then kind of settle in as the game went on is pretty inspiring. Yeah. For the football element of what you hope that this team can be. And if that embodies that and Tyreek can apply this and use it for good and the rest of the team can do that as well, then you make the best of a pretty bad situation.
Hey, who was the who graded out and was the best player for the Dolphins in that game? We talk about individual plays and the numbers that the two wide receivers and a quarterback put up. Who was it for you?
Yeah, for me it was Jalen Waddle. I thought Waddle had even more opportunities than the targets he got to make a big play. I thought Achane was outstanding. I mentioned the two offensive tackles. Those are probably the guys at the top of my list after today, after the performance.
No, that's good to hear, man. That really is. All right, let's look at the Bills here real quickly. Here we go again, the Josh Allen show. Fresh off four touchdowns, two running and two throwing, and they were down big, and he brings them back. What's the key to the Dolphins getting their third win against Josh Allen team?
Yeah, stopping him, slowing him down.
Is it more about stopping the runner or the guy for throwing it? Because I don't know how good his weapons are. What do you think of his weapons?
So there's an incomplete element with those guys where Kincaid has high expectations, the first-round tight end from 2023, but he had a quiet first week. The receivers on the perimeter have size and physicality. You're going to take some low-percentage throws to those guys. I do think if you're able to contain Josh the runner, it's probably more impactful. But when I look at Buffalo and I look at opportunities that do exist, I think the biggest thing for me is Taron Johnson, their nickel, is out.
with a forearm injury that he suffered in week one. He's
huge
a great player.
Loss. Oh, boy.
And then Matt Milano. And then obviously their safeties have had some changes this year where it's Taylor Rapp and DeMar Hamlin are the starting safeties. So I look at the core in the middle of the field of their defense, and there's a lot of players that haven't played a lot that are in critical spots there. And I think you have to play a balanced game. You know, if you try and go blow for blow and win 42-38 against this team, we saw that script in week four last year. It didn't go well. Don't do that. So I think the big thing for Miami is slow down Josh the runner and then figure out how to play a little bit more consistently offensively this week against a team that's got some questions in the core.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, it is a big game because the last thing you want is the Bills to do it again and win both games on the road and at home. You got to get this one. This is – I know there's a whole bunch of games left, but, man, be nice to get this one and having your back pocket and a 2-0 start hitting that West Coast would be really nice. Yeah, for sure. Kyle, thank you, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe.